like to start with an illustration that I've told the youth, so y'all might be a little bored for a moment, but everyone else hasn't heard it yet. And so I want to start with an illustration about my son, Micah. Most of you have probably met him or at least seen him running around, pretty happy guy. But every once in a while, Micah in the mornings, he's pretty groggy. He's not someone who wakes up just like chipper and just ready to go. Sometimes he's like probably a lot of us, where we wake up a little slow. And so he wakes up a little slow, he's a little groggy, and we're, you know, getting ready for Children's Day out, and he's a big kid. He's 5 years old now, which blows my mind that I have a 5-year old already. He's grown up like that. But he'll say, you know what, I want to get dressed myself. I can dress myself. And so we'll say, okay, go get dressed. And then maybe 5 minutes later or so, we'll go into the room and we'll find Micah trying to put his blue jeans on over his pajama pants. All right? So it's kind of like all jumbled up and getting frustrated. And we're like, dude, Micah, slow down. You're getting ahead of yourself. You've got to take off the old pants before you put on the new. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning, is taking off the old before we put on the new. The title of my message this morning is that when one chapter ends, another one begins. When one chapter ends, another one begins. Corey has been preaching on a beautiful mind, and he preached on Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to turn back there and continue reading from that passage. So if you want to turn with me, it'll be on the screen as well. But Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're going to talk about what it means to take off the old and put on the new. How do you make a transition in life? How do you end one chapter and begin a new chapter? And so we'll start in Colossians 3, verse 1 and following. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have this calling to not have your mindset on the things of this world anymore, but to now have it on things above, on eternal things, to do things that will last for the kingdom of God. And that is what we're called to do. And then it continues in verse 5, talking about more of our calling as believers. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked. Amen. I once walked there. You once walked as sons of disobedience. And in them you once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. If you have been saved, which This service I know is made up of people who have most likely have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And you've been practicing what I just read, putting aside these things, taking off the old. You know, the pajama pants, he's all jumbled up. He has to get rid of the old before he puts on the new. But also, we're called to put on the new. Once we've taken off the old, we're called to put on the new. Colossians 3, 12 through 17 says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I read those because I want to emphasize this calling that we have on our lives as believers. to have our mind on things above, to take off the old and put on the new, just as I told Micah in that silly illustration. Today's Graduate Sunday, and I wanted to preach a message to the graduates, but also I know that you're not all graduating today, so I thought I might preach something that can be applicable to you as well. And so, like I said before, my message title is that when one chapter ends, another one begins, and ultimately what I want to be emphasizing is transitions. Everybody say transitions.
Transitions.
All right, that's the youth pastor in me. I got to get you interacting with me, all right? And so we're going to talk about transitions. For these graduates, they're facing probably one of the biggest transitions they'll ever face in their life. They're either graduating high school or college, leaving homes, and parents are facing all sorts of big transitions as well. They're losing their babies, and they're sending them off into the scary world, and they won't have them anymore. And this is a good time for me to plug the Home Connection Center that we've been plugging for a while. We have lots of resources for families who are empty nest. For launching young adults, we even have a book called Living on the Edge, because I believe that the young adult time is probably one of the most exciting times in the life of a person. And most young people today are just pursuing pleasure and just going to parties and kind of wasting those years, when really, if you're a Christian and you're a young adult, you should be using those years to magnify God. You're kind of free. Most young adults are not married. Most of them have a lot more free time on their hands than whenever they get married and all those sort of things. And so this season of life is a time when young adults can change the world. I mean, we're taking, when we go to camp, we have young adults come be chaperones because they don't have full-time jobs yet, right? Young adults can hop in and serve like crazy. When we have Disciple Now, we had around like 20 or 25 young adults, freshmen through seniors in college, that come and serve and lead all 180 students in that weekend. Young adults are in a prime season of life to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And in some ways, I think that as they make these transitions, they may be thinking things like, I'm moving out, I'm moving forward, I'm going to college, I'm starting a career, watch out world, here I come. And you may remember that. I remember when I went to college, I was just thinking, man, I'm about to go take on the world. I've got this. You know, I was excited. But at the same time, those feelings of excitement were coupled with other feelings like, oh no, I'm about to be really lonely. I'm leaving my house. I'm leaving all my friends. Life is about to be really different. College might be hard. You know, like I started to have all these other concerns like, man, I'm excited to go move forward, but wow, this is going to be a different type of life. And these graduates are not the only ones who feel those feelings. We feel those feelings in any transition we go through. Feelings of excitement coupled with feelings of nervousness, maybe even fear. And so you might be transitioning right now. I don't know where you're at, but at some point in maybe even the near future, you'll probably go through some sort of transition. You might start a new position at work. You might become a grandparent. You may lose a loved one. You may be approaching retirement. You may be getting involved in a new ministry at church. You may be starting a new marriage. And all of those transitions are filled with the emotions I just described. But this morning, I want to offer you the same advice I offered Micah. Before you start this new season, make sure you deal with the old. Before you start a new season, make sure you deal with the old. When you're entering into a new season of life, whatever it may be, you need to make sure you have closure on the old so you can start the new season refreshed, re-energized, focused, and not distracted with problems from the past. You know, I was praying about what to speak on today because I knew for a while I was speaking on Graduate Sunday. And I was just praying about it, and I knew the Lord was laying on my heart to talk about this idea of transition, but I wasn't sure where to turn in Scripture, which passage the Lord was leading me to. And eventually, after lots of prayer and lots of thoughts and lots of discussions with my wife, because she's the one who helps me write these things, because she's way smarter than I am, all right? And so praying and talking and figuring that out, eventually the Lord led me to Exodus. The Exodus story. And so we're going to be there, and you may even go turn to Exodus. We'll look at a few places there in just a moment. But what I want to do to continue to finish out this message today is to look at the Exodus story and learn three lessons on how we can go through transitions. How we can go through transitions that in a way that honors and glorifies God. And so we're going to look at that Exodus story. But before we look at that, let's just remember the Exodus. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget things. Amen? Yeah. Anyone forget things? I mean, come on. That's like people say like that they're having a senior adult moment. I say I'm having an amateur moment all the time. I just forget things, all right? I just forget things all the time. And so let's remember the Exodus. God's people were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, and the people of God, the Israelites, are growing in size. They're getting to where their number is really large, and the Pharaoh starts to get nervous. He starts to realize that the number of the Israelites is probably getting close to the number of Egyptians, and if they wanted to take over the Egyptians, they could probably pull it off. And so the Pharaoh makes this decree. There's not going to be a large amount of Israelites anymore. Any male children that are born dies. So he makes this decree to stop it, to make sure that Egypt stays on top. But God, being the God that he is, that loves to to do amazing things, spares the life of an Israelite boy named Moses. And Moses is saved by Pharaoh's daughter, and she raises him in the palace. He's raised kind of as an Egyptian. And Moses is raised, and he knows he's an Israelite, but he's raised as an Egyptian, so he's kind of mixed up there. And one day he sees an Egyptian slave driver really just mistreating one of the Israelite people. And Moses reacts in an outburst of anger, and he kills that Egyptian. And in fear, he flees to a place called Midian. And when he's in Midian, he's watching sheep. And when he's in Midian, God shows up in a burning bush. And God tells Moses, hey, go back where you ran away from. Go back to the place you killed that dude, and go back and set my people free. And Moses was probably a little nervous at that point, but God said, go back and set my people free. And he makes it clear to Moses that he needs to transition from Midian back to this calling to go and to set his people free. And so he goes back, and the way that God uses Moses is God does these 10 plagues through Moses to make it clear to Pharaoh that there is a God. There is a God of the Israelites, and he is real, and he is taking the Israelite people out of Egypt. And he makes it clear to Pharaoh, then Israelites are leaving, and Pharaoh changes his mind again, chases after them. They get to the Red Sea, and we've all seen this picture. You've all colored it in your coloring book in Sunday school, where they get to the Red Sea, and God splits the waters, and the Israelites walk across on dry ground. Pharaoh and his army goes into the waters, and they drown, and the Israelite people begin this journey to the Promised Land, and they begin to go towards the Promised Land. Got really loud for a second, right? They begin to go towards the promised land. That's the youth pastor in me too, being ADD, all right? But they begin to go towards the promised land. Moses dies eventually, and Joshua leads them into the promised land. Let's look at these three lessons we can learn from this story. When they left Egypt, lesson number one. When they left Egypt, they needed to make a clean break. When they left Egypt, they needed to make a clean break. When you go through transitions in life, you need to make a clean break. And I'm not saying that the graduates need to make a clean break from their families and never call them. I remember I went to college and literally played ping pong and basketball way too much, all right? Like, way too much first semester. My GPA definitely reflected that, and I had to, like, dig my way out of that situation in the last, like, 3.5 years of college, right? But I go and I play just a ton of ping pong and basketball, and I forget to call my mom, all right? Like, I'm just not calling my parents. So I'm not saying you need a clean break from your family, all right? I'm saying that you need a clean break from the unhealthy things whenever you are making a transition. I'm saying that when you make a transition, make a clean break from the things that make you a slave to sin, like fear or immorality or unhealthy relationships. And the people of Israel did not make a clean break. If you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 16, we'll look at what the people of Israel said. Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. Says this, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You know, they would rather have been comfortable as slaves than uncomfortable as they moved towards freedom. Think about that. They would have rather been comfortable as slaves than gone through a transition where it's going to involve some uncomfortable moments, but it's going to lead towards freedom. Transitions will be uncomfortable, but if God is moving you forward, then it's worth a little bit of uncomfort. Think about how God made it clear to the Israelites that he was moving them forward. He does all these plagues, these amazing things. And he's saying, hey, I am in this, I'm moving you forward. And they looked at him and said, hey, we would rather rather be comfortable than be uncomfortable as you move us forward. If God's calling you to transition right now, maybe at work or at home or in the life of your relationship with someone, move forward. Don't stay back because it's comfortable. Get out of your comfort zone and move forward wherever God is leading you, because I'd rather be where God is and a little uncomfortable than not where God is and comfortable. It's this old saying, and it was said in our Wednesday night group this past week. One of the college freshmen said, if God calls you to it, he will bring you through it. If God is calling you to transition, go with God. It's going to be better. It's going to work out better that way. The transition is a blessing from God that gives you the opportunity to make a clean break from things that don't need to be in your life anymore as you move forward. Lesson number two we can learn from the Israelites is that we need to deal with our past problems or they will continue to affect us. If you're still with me, say, I'm with you, man. All right. During the transitions to the Promised Land, the Israelites complained a lot. I'm teaching Micah Bible verses, all right? He's five, he's at an age, and I'll just be honest, sometimes I bribe him with quarters, all right? That's what I'm doing right now, all right? So the next Bible verse, though, that my wife said we need to teach him is Philippians 2:14. Do everything without grumbling and complaining, all right? And so that's where we're at right now with him, is do everything without grumbling and complaining. And the Israelites needed to memorize that verse, too. All right, they get into this journey to the Promised Land, and they just complain. They don't like the food. They don't like the water. They're hungry. They're just complaining all the time, when in reality, God is leading them into this amazing place. If they would just shut up and stay the course and move forward, things would be good. But they're complaining. And something that I look at, and I was reading the book by James McDonald. It's a really good book. If you want to check it out, it's called Lord, Change My Attitude Before It's Too Late. And I was looking at this book, and one of the things that he pointed out is that they didn't just start complaining whenever they were on the journey to the Promised Land. Their complaining was something that they had already been doing in Egypt. You remember whenever Pharaoh increased the workload? He made them make more bricks because he was mad about the plagues. What did they do? They complained. When they were in Egypt, they were complainers. And they took that problem with them as they transitioned to the Promised Land. Just think about that for a moment. Just because you go into a new season doesn't mean that it's just going to be a totally new you. If you have a poor attitude or a struggle with lust or a tendency to tell white lies, or if you're lazy or if you're selfish in your relationships, it will follow you into the new season of life. Just because you have a change of scenery doesn't mean you're going to be different. And so the question that comes to my mind is, whenever we make this transition, what needs to be put to death? You know, like, whenever you move forward into a new season of life, what do you want to leave behind? And what do you want to take with you? Because the past isn't all negative. There's great things we learn from the past and we take it with us. But what do you want to leave behind as you're making whatever transition you're making? One of the things that I think about is get a visual of you're having a funeral of all those things you want to put to death. And leave that stuff at the cross where Jesus paid for it. So many times I think that we think that if we could just get a new job or just have more money or have a new boss or a new church, it'll fix all our problems. But the reality is the problems aren't out there. They're in here a lot of times. And if we address what's going on in our own heart as we make those transitions, then we will go into that new season dealing with the old. We won't be trying to put on jeans over our pajamas. The third lesson I think we can see from this story is to start fresh and stay focused. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy, if you want to turn with me. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I didn't mark my Bible, so I would have to turn the same amount of time you would have to turn. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. The people of Israel get into the Promised Land, and here's what God tells them. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them, you shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, hew down their ashram, and burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of the peoples. But the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers. You see, when you start a new season of life and you go into this new place, you need to be have new focus. You know, it talks about tearing down their altars, getting rid of all of the distractions, getting rid of all the problems that were there from that group of people, all those ites, the Hivites and the Perizzites, and all those people. Sometimes I'll be reading the Bible with the youth, you know, and honestly, I have no idea how to say a word. Anybody ever been there? All right, like, no idea, and I just totally make it up. That's what you should do, just so you know. If you don't know how to say it, just act really confident, all right? That's just a side note for the day, all right? But whenever they went into that new season, they were to get rid of everything that could be a distraction. When you transition and you've made a clean break, you've dealt with the old, you have to go into the new season and expect temptation. Satan wants to destroy you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. So whatever you struggled with in the past and you dealt with, the moment you start the new season, Satan's right there to tempt you again. Don't give Satan any room to tempt you. Keep your mind on things above. Do whatever you have to do. I remember when I was in college, I remember that I would write Bible verses on sticky notes and put them around like my bathroom mirror so that when I would brush my teeth in the morning, I would see the Word of God. I would do whatever it takes to start fresh and to stay focused. Because if you don't, whenever you get into that new season, the moment that you get in that new season, you're going to fall right back into the old if you aren't ready to do the new. God called the Israelites into this promised land. He had a huge plan for them. He had a new mission. And he reminds them in verse 6, they're children of God. They have a new calling, a new mission, and they're to go out and to be the people that represent God to the world. And we know what happens ultimately with the Israelites. What do? They go back to the old. They kind of adopt the customs of the people around them. Let's not do that. Whatever transition you're going through, let's do it to build the kingdom of God. And so the whole point of my message this morning is when one chapter ends, another one begins, and you have an opportunity to start fresh. The other day, and this is how we'll close, the other day we did an illustration in this sanctuary. I think we had like 80-something students in here, and we had tables set up, and on the tables we had bowls of water, and we had a bowl of rocks over on this table. I happened to stumble upon this cool stuff called dissolvable paper. All right, and so the students were to come up here, and they were to write things on the paper that they wanted to leave behind. And really, we were talking about the 2015-16 school year. What do you want to leave behind? What sins? What struggles? What experiences do you want to just leave behind? And they came up here, and it was pretty cool. All of them coming up here and writing on this paper, and then putting it in the water, and it dissolved. It's really, really neat. Dissolved, and it's kind of this symbol of when we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all these students coming up and just kind of having this symbol of their sins being washed away. But whenever we finish something, we leave that stuff behind, and we take something with us. And so I think of the story of David. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba and he set up a murder for Uriah, he wanted to leave behind all that guilt and all that shame. So he would have wrote on the paper, guilt, shame, murder, adultery, watched it dissolve. But I think what David took with him out of that was humility. And so he got rid of the guilt, the shame, the adultery, the murder, and he took with him humility. And so whenever you're going through a transition, get rid of the old that doesn't need to be there anymore. Take with you what you need to learn from the Lord. And go into that season re-energized, focused, all for the glory of God. You can't do any of this unless you know Jesus. You can't get rid of the old on your own. That would be self-help, and you can't help yourself. You need Jesus. And so, if you want to deal with the old, turn to Jesus. This morning, during our time of invitation, if you've never met Jesus, come down. Corey and I will both be up here during our time of invitation. Like to talk to us about receiving Jesus. transition and you say, you know what, I've got some stuff I want to deal with. Just to be honest, like the other night, my wife and I sat up for like 3 hours and talked about transition and talked about things that we need to make sure that we deal with as we move forward in our life. You have to do that sometimes. If you just kind of scoot this to the dirt under the rug, it's gonna come back to bite you. Let's deal with the old before we make transitions. I'm going to pray, and then I invite you to respond to this message.